Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, and we'll be reading two selections today, one from chapter 17 and one from chapter 18. We continue on in this series on the life of Abraham, a life of faith, a life of growing faith. And today we're going to look first at Genesis 17, 15 through 21. Genesis 17, beginning at verse 15. So let us hear God's word. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations, kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall be a father of 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." And then moving over to chapter 18, I'd like to read verses 9 through 15. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." He said, "No, but you did laugh." May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Do you live by faith in God? It's the only way to live. Every moment of every day should be lived by faith in the God of grace, a God who freely gives his gifts to us, life, provision, relationships, abilities, to name just a few things that he gives. Everything we are and everything that we have at this present time is dependent upon his grace, dependent upon his gifts to us. And all of our hopes for the future are dependent on his grace as well, dependent upon what he has already done in Jesus Christ, and also dependent upon the promise of his grace that is still to come, that we haven't experienced yet. A life lived by faith acknowledges that God exists and that he made us in love to be like him, and to enjoy him and to enjoy a life with him forever. We are nothing without him. We have nothing without him. And we have no hope for the future without him. A life lived by faith acknowledges this. And it's a life that is shaped by this knowledge. The way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. But often we forget forget our dependence on God and his gifts. We become self-absorbed, sometimes even arrogant, deceived into thinking that we're self-sufficient. We become like the Israelites who didn't heed Moses' warning and who forgot that the prosperity and the good things that they enjoyed in the land of Canaan, those things were gifts to them from God. We forget, or we're too impatient to wait for God's timing, or we don't believe that God is faithful or that he is able to do what he says. We do believe, but then there are these gaps in our faith, places where we are not aligned as we should be with the grace of God. Grace at times to us just seems to be too good to be true. Well, this morning as we look at these passages about Abraham and Sarah, I'd like to talk about our first being out of alignment with the grace of God, and then second, becoming realigned with that grace. To be out of alignment with grace is to live our lives as though we can live and accomplish things without the help of God, without his grace. That's the complete opposite of a life of faith. Abraham and Sarah were believers. They were people of faith. They had to be. For one thing, the Bible tells us that they were. And then why else would they pick up everything they owned and leave behind everything they knew to go to a strange place? Why would they do that if they didn't believe that God would carry out the things that he had promised to them? But though they were people of faith, there were gaps in their faith. They had not yet learned what it meant to live fully by faith in God. But they were on the right road, and God graciously and patiently worked with them to nurture their faith so that it would grow and so that they could receive all that God had promised to them. So there was hope for them. There's hope for us as well. And we see this here once again in these two accounts that we just read. The first account in chapter 17 focuses a little bit more on Abraham and renewal of the promises to him. The second account, more on Sarah. Both of these encounters with God occur about a year before their son Isaac was to be born. And as we just read, Abraham is 99 years old, Sarah is 90, past the point where she can bear children. But still, God promises a son to them. And again, I want us to keep the bigger picture in mind as we move through these accounts about Abraham. The birth of this son, the birth of Isaac, was only the first step to realizing a much bigger and more comprehensive promise. The promise said that nations and kings would come through this son. And there was the promise that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Now, did Abraham and Sarah understand that God was saying that through them and through their son Isaac, that a future Savior would come and who would die to save humanity and to usher in a whole new creation? I'm thinking probably not. Probably they didn't have that level of detail. But even without full clarity on the big picture, the mere promise of a son to an elderly couple all by itself, that was a promise too good to be true, or it appeared to be so. It was what Abraham and Sarah had longed for. It was what they had been waiting for. It was what they had tried to achieve on their own, apart from God's grace. Sarah gave to Abraham, if you remember, her handmaid Hagar, who who then gave birth to Ishmael. And we see in this passage that we just read that Abraham still hasn't given up on the idea, right? He says to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And faced with this fantastical promise of a son in their old age, with this promise of a gift too good to be true, Abraham and Sarah both laugh. They laugh. Because who had ever heard of such a thing happening? And so Abraham says, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" They had enough faith in God to leave their home and to come to this place. They had enough confidence that God could and would carry through on what he had promised. But now that confidence is being shaken. Their faith was being pushed beyond its limits. They were fine when they could see that there was a reasonable path forward. They had confidence enough for that. But now, they just couldn't see a way. And so they laugh. Doesn't this God, who calls himself the Lord Almighty, doesn't he know that we're past childbearing years? Well, yes, he does. And that's precisely the point. This is a teaching opportunity. It's a teachable moment for Abraham and Sarah, whose faith was not yet fully aligned with the grace of God. This would be their next lesson in a life of faith. God is about to show them the greatness of his grace, and along with that, show them just how dependent on his grace they really are. It's as though God were saying to them, "Abraham and Sarah, without me, you can't even have one child. But with me, you will have many descendants, and one of them will be your Savior, and he will be the Savior of the world." They're about to experience the grace of God beyond something they never imagined. Grace that they thought was too good to be true. And so God patiently works to align their faith to his grace. And this brings us to the second point. So when we need a course correction, when we need a reminder that we don't stand on our own, but that we stand by faith in God's grace, God will often allow us to come to the end of our ropes. That's when we come to the place where it's obvious that without God's help, we're not going to survive. We're not going to succeed. At the Bucksmont Coalition for Evangelism business breakfast this past Thursday, a man named Dan Emmer, the director of a local organization called Worthwhile Wear, was the speaker. Worthwhile Wear is an organization that seeks to help victims and potential victims of sex trafficking, both here in the United States and in other countries. And Dan told a story about the early days when they were first starting up. He had left his $90,000 a year job, and he and his family were living on their savings. And one day he was looking at his bank account online, and he saw that the total at the bottom was zero. He said that was a unique experience for him. So he actually took a picture of the computer screen. And he had no idea what they were going to do. But that day, an unexpected $10,000 inheritance check came in the mail. So he went to his wife, and he asked her to remind him always that his help and his ability to succeed rest in the Lord and not in himself. This was a reminder to him. Well, this type of thing is exactly what's happening here with Abraham and Sarah. They were down to zero. He was 99, she was 90. There was no way that they were going to have a child, let alone be the forerunners of nations and kings, not on their own, not without the help of God. And that's precisely what God wanted them to see. That's precisely what faith says, that we can't even exist apart from the grace of God. But there's something else that faith says. It says that there's nothing too hard for God. We see that statement in chapter 18 and verse 14. In other words, God is able to do what he says. The limit of God's grace is limited only by God himself, and the God of Abraham and Sarah is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He's the God who made all things out of nothing. He called into being what before did not exist. In Paul's letter to the Romans in the New Testament, Paul speaks about this very passage that we're looking at today in the book of Genesis. Paul speaks about the faith of Abraham and the promise of grace that God made to him. He speaks of how Abraham's body was as good as dead and how Sarah's womb was barren. But then Paul describes God, the God in whom Abraham believed. And these are Paul's words. This is his description. He says, the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Now, what's Paul saying? He's saying that there's no limit to the grace of God. If God can give life to the dead, if he can create things out of nothing, then why would it be too hard for him to give a son to Abraham and Sarah in their old age? What's laughable here is not thinking that God could do this. What's laughable is thinking that he couldn't do it. I've shared this before as a sermon illustration, but I had a biology professor at college who said that Jesus could not have been born of a virgin because he claimed that it was scientifically impossible. But you see, the answer to that is, well, if there is a God who raises the dead and creates things out of nothing, then how in the world could a virgin birth be impossible? When Sarah laughs, God says, why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And of course, the answer is no. Nothing is impossible for God. Are we living our lives as though there is nothing too hard for the Lord? Are we living as though his promises are true? If we are, then we'll be living a life of gratitude for the grace that God has given to us in this present life. If we believe that nothing is too hard for God, then we will live with the expectation that he will fulfill the promises he's made to us in the scriptures. If we believe that nothing is too hard for the Lord, then we're going to submit to his plans, to his purposes, to his commands, knowing that our faith in God is not in vain. Because what God has said, he will do. He's able to do it. Abraham and Sarah had a son. Their faith in God was not in vain. Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross to pay the price for our sins and has risen from the dead to bring us eternal life. What more does God have to do to show us that he loves us, that he's for us, and that he is able to do for us what he says he will do? What more does he have to do to show us that he's a God of grace and that he's worthy of our faith? Well, today's Mother's Day, so I want to finish up with a word of encouragement to you mothers and grandmothers here today. Sarah became a mother by her faith in God. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, says that by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And what we see from that passage is that Sarah's lapse in faith, her momentary lapse in faith, was repaired by God's realignment of her heart. Her moment of unbelief that resulted in laughter was transformed into faith in the one for whom nothing is too hard. And what we see in chapter 21 of Genesis, we haven't gotten there yet, but we will. What we see in that chapter is that Sarah laughs again. Only this time, it's not the scornful laughter of unbelief, but the joyful laughter of a woman who has received from God what he promised. At the birth of Isaac, Sarah says this. This is Genesis 21, verses 6 and 7. God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And at God's direction, Abraham and Sarah named their son Isaac, which means he laughs. By her faith in the God of grace, despite the fact that God's grace seemed too good to be true, Sarah became a mother, and not just any mother, but one who held a pivotal place in God's plan of salvation. Through her would come the Savior of the world. Now, all of you who are mothers here today don't have that specific privilege, but each of you holds a critical place in God's plan as well. All of you have the awesome responsibility of nurturing the next generation of God's children, of God's people. You've been put in a unique position to shape the hearts and the minds and the lives of your children for the Lord. They will look to you for instruction. They'll look to you for an example of faith, just as we look to Sarah today as our example of faith. Sarah's faith was not fully formed. Your faith is not going to be perfect, not in this life. But if you instruct your children in the ways of the Lord, and if you tell them about Jesus and his salvation, and if you set before them a godly example of faith in the grace of God, then you're going to leave a legacy for them like Sarah left for her children and for us, for all of us. I continue to be grateful for the faith of my own mother and for the way God used that to bring to me a knowledge of Jesus Christ and of his salvation. And so I say to all of us here today, put your faith in the God whose grace seems just too good to be true. But he is faithful, and he is able. He will do what he says. He's already done it in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And what he has begun, he will complete on the day that Jesus returns. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, we thank you for your patience with us, a people that are so prone to fears and doubts, forgetting how you have revealed yourself to be so faithful and so able. We pray, Lord, for transformed hearts, as we've already prayed this morning. We ask it again, that your Spirit would give us that faith that we need, trusting in you, the God who gives us every good and perfect gift, the God on whom we depend for every breath. We thank you for the hope that we have. Lord, keep that always before us, that hope that Jesus, who has gone to sit at your right hand, is coming again to bring us to be with him. Help us, Lord, like Abraham, like Sarah, to be people who believe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.